International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And welcome back, Episode 9, Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Helping youth workers to keep going. My name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson, and we are excited to have you back. Hey, if you haven't yet, would you mind going to iTunes and just giving us a quick review there? That would help us get the word out about this podcast.
We just love more youth workers to be able to know about this podcast and hear the things that are being said here.
And, you know, we're from Maryland, and we are super psyched because we are headed to SoCal.
Southern California. So we both just registered for DYM 2018, which will happen, I think, at the end of September.
Yep.
Down there in Southern California. So a couple East Coast boys going to storm Southern California.
Yeah, they better get ready out there. Del Taco better cook up some extra tacos for us.
Oh, man, because I haven't had a good taco in quite some time. So I'm ready.
Yeah, we're super excited about going. DYM is a great resource ministry. Doug Fields and Josh Griffin. And we're just really excited to be going to that this fall together. We're going to have a blast.
So hopefully some of you are out there going to that one. We'd love to connect with you guys.
Sure.
Give you a Sherpa sticker or something.
Hey, we're about to get into part two with our interview with Brock Morgan. And Brock has just filled us with a lot of hope and encouragement. We had a great time talking to him. Hey, Matthew, I do have a question, though. You guys have a worship band in your youth ministry, right?
We sure do. Actually, yeah. Pretty decent one, I think.
Yeah, I've heard them before. And do you sing the song Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit by Francisca Battistelli, which, by the way, is such a strong name.
That's a
great name.
That's a good name.
She can sing.
Sounds like an opera singer, not a worship singer.
Yes, we sing that song, Holy Spirit.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Yeah, what do the words say to that?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
That sounds absolutely wonderful.
It's,
I love that song.
I think it's theologically correct.
It's great.
It's a great goal. We sing it in our youth ministry all the time.
Come flood this place with the Holy Spirit of
God. We want to be overcome by your presence.
How often does that happen in your youth ministry?
Oh, that's an uncomfortable question, Steve Anderson.
I'm glad I asked
it. I mean, we're pretty tightly programmed. You know, we got a schedule to keep. We got
use planning center.
We planning center, and it's out down to the minute. We have announcements to give. I mean, we gotta pump up our programs.
Absolutely, you got a lot of stuff going on. So, kids need to know about it, right?
Yeah, and so I mean, I definitely want the Holy Spirit to flood the place, but there are some times I've scheduled for that to happen in the evening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does the Holy Spirit listen to your schedule?
Typically not.
Does he follow it?
I'm actually appreciative of. But I mean, again, this is funny. I'm saying that, but that's the reality. There's a tension here, and in the second half of the interview that Brock he's really challenged. I know he challenged both of us.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to challenge all of us who are listening to this idea of what would it mean to actually create room for the Holy Spirit to come flood your youth ministry and to overcome the place with his presence? I think it would look a lot different than maybe it looks right now.
I think so. And it's something that I've been thinking about since we talked to Brock. I think you're going to find this really fascinating and encouraging. And just get ready for part two.
Part two. Here you go. We're working with a group of people who are living out what is actually happening in time in culture. And so I think that's why student ministry stuff is kind of on the front lines in that way.
Can we drill down that anxiety a little bit? Because you talk a lot about anxiety in the book. Some of your own and a lot. We see it in our students. Just, I mean, every week I find a new kid who's
overwhelmed
or taking medication for anxiety or has issues that we didn't know about, and it seems like it's endless. Where is that all coming from?
Oh my gosh.
How do we deal with that?
Oh my gosh. You know, I never understood anxiety until I all of a sudden got it myself. I don't know if you guys have dealt with anxiety. I never did. Until probably 7 or 8 years ago. I never felt anxious.
Right.
But like bouts of
sure.
of anxiety, debilitating anxiety.
Right. Bring you to a halt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I, about 7 or 8, maybe 8 years ago, maybe 9. Who knows? I had a panic attack and I didn't know what one was. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Were you a student pastor at the
time? I was a youth pastor. And I went to work at a church that I was hired at a church, and they basically, I moved my family from, we were living on the West Coast to, and we moved to Connecticut. And on the drive across country, the whole thing changed. When I arrived, I was supposed to have like 4 people working for me. All of a sudden, I was the only dude.
Oh, wow. Man.
And they said, yeah, we had to cut budget, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to hire some people, and but I had just moved my family across the country. Oh. And they were like, if you can grow this thing, then we'll let you. So the whole deal changed.
Ooh.
And I even told them, I'm not coming unless I can hire and this whole thing. You know, I'm not interested in being a one guy. I was too old to be the only guy at that point. And so I then just, at that point, I didn't know what to do. I felt so powerless. And I just went, okay, I'm going to grow this thing. And I just started not taking days off, not living well, feeling overwhelmed by it all. And after about 10 months, I had this panic attack right before youth group. Mm. And it scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was like, do you want to get counseling? Mm. And I was like, yes.
Let's do this.
And it was maybe one of the best gifts God ever gave me, because I can empathize. So when a kid comes to me with anxiety, I can go, oh man, I know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so kids are plagued. It's a systemic problem that we have. First of all, there's lies out there being told that if they don't get into this college or that college or get these grades AP courses, and it's all bullcrap.
So much pressure on them.
It's all baloney.
Yeah.
And they're believing these lies.
If you're not doing 8 hours worth of homework, you must not be a great student.
Exactly. It's all baloney. I was just with, we had a couple freshmen from college come to our high school camp last weekend as leaders. Mm-hmm. So awesome. So they come from college. They're at UVA and Virginia Tech, and they came as leaders. And I was talking to them. I was like, all right, tell me about school. There's three guys. And they were like, okay, here's the thing, Brock. We're all taking the same classes. They're all online. I'm like, there's no lectures? No, we're all just taking online classes at our college. They're like, yeah, it's all...
You're getting ripped off. Is what
you're... Like, you're totally getting ripped off. And I was like, what about, like, you had to, like, get it? They're like, it doesn't even matter what college you go to anymore. Mm. And I was like, you need to tell this to our kids.
To their parents, too.
And to their parents, because it's all based in peer pressure. Sure. Mom and dad are feeling pressure from other parents. Schools, according to grades, that's how we get funding. So if inner city schools or schools who have a lot of ESOL students, their funding's super low. I mean, the system is upside down. It's backward. It's creating these levels of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember being a senior in college and telling my parents, "Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go to college," and them looking at me and going, "Yes, you are going to college." But I didn't even at that point. I was like, "Oh, okay." Like I wasn't so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
A lot of this anxiety is based around the school pressures. Our kids are now busy 7 days a week with school activities. We stopped doing midweek stuff. We do it on Sunday nights, our youth ministry, because I found that kids were at their schools till 8, 9 o'clock at night if they were in clubs or extracurriculars or sports.
Yeah.
And
they're up till midnight doing homework.
They're not getting enough of sleep. Mm-hmm. We know research tells us that.
Yeah.
So you have these under-rested, stressed out.
And then isolated. They're all device-driven.
They're not living in the world of adults. Mm-hmm. So we have created a separate
world for them. Mm-hmm.
So there is, it used to be you kind of lived in the world of adults.
Right.
You're in their world, but they've created, not students, but we've created a separate world for teenagers, and we've glorified it. and it's created all this separateness. So there's no perspective. They're not feeding mm-hmm. each other wisdom.
Right.
They're feeding each other
lies.
Crap.
Right. Right. So what's the role of the youth worker in this, right? I mean, we have a voice, may not be the loudest voice, but we like to think we have a voice in
totally.
Their lives, and we have maybe some voice in their parents' lives. What's there's a challenge there, but what's the opportunity for us as youth workers in this, in the culture, and where you see it going over these next 10 years?
One of the things I really feel like we've got to do is become advocates. That's got to be a major role for the youth worker. Mm-hmm. And not just parachurch youth workers might get this better. Mm-hmm. Like they're at the schools. You know, when we first started in youth ministry, youth pastors actually hung out at schools. Mm-hmm. I can't, youth workers today, I have a hard time getting them out of the office. Like mm-hmm. Why are you here? Like get mm-hmm. out of the, there's all this pressure from the church structures to be in the office all day.
Well, we have programs to run. We have things to plan
We're
for.
We're so busy with our own with that all programs.
The machinery. Exactly. Got to keep the machinery running.
Got to keep it going.
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like the biggest challenge is we have to become advocates. We know what's going on in the heart, mind, and souls of our kids. We know they're struggling. We know their systems are wrong. And we have to get involved. We have to be a voice of reason, a voice of truth to parents, mm. to them, but also to the structures, the counties and the officials and the superintendents and the headmasters and the principals and the teachers and the coaches. We have to, it's very logical. How we're doing it right now isn't working.
Clearly.
This is not working.
Broken.
And so we could be a loving, thoughtful voice of reason in a culture that has gone off the rails. So I think that's the challenge. You know, youth workers are asking the question, how do I get into the home? Because we know that parents are the primary influence in a kid's life. They're shaping everything. So how do we ask that question. We may not be good at finding the answer, but we ask that question. We have to be asking the same question about our cities. In our communities, mm-hmm. our towns, mm. how do we help change? I mean, just recently you have the shooting in Florida, right? And here's this anxiety-ridden, it's a pressure cooker. Dude, it's a pressure cooker.
Right.
And you throw in lack of sleep, or this kid, some mental stuff,
mm-hmm.
and not fitting in, and that pressure cooker, that system,
Yeah.
Of course, right? It's almost like, of course, we've got to change this.
And then that happens, and that adds another level of anxiety towards kids that weren't at that school but go to schools in Maryland and Virginia.
That's right. That's
I mean, can you imagine having grown up and hearing about a school shooting every week? I still, whenever I hear it, I just get completely confused by it.
Insane.
It is insane, and we don't do anything about it.
Yeah. No. Right. So I think youth workers, and I am on those Facebook youth worker groups that are.
Are you in the Youth Ministry Sherpas Facebook group?
I don't know. I'll have to get them in there.
You guys have a Facebook group?
We do. Yeah,
I follow you on Instagram.
All right, beautiful.
Hey,
that's something.
So I'm in these groups and I hear youth pastors saying ridiculous things sometimes. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Should I start bringing guns to youth group?
Yeah.
Oh my no.
Word. No, you should not.
No.
Anyone listening, like, do not bring a gun to your next student.
There's better answers. There's better answers. Yeah. But whatever they are, we have to get involved is what I'm saying. And so that is the challenge. There is a hope.
Mm-hmm.
The hope is this. I am finding more than ever before. Last week I was speaking to our kids at camp and I was just kind of describing some of this and I was going, the way we're living isn't working. And the whole room was like, yes, it's not working.
Yeah. Give us a new reality.
And so, like, our kids are ready.
Yeah.
They're so open. They're so ready. And that's why I feel like the idea of a coming movement in this book that I wrote, Youth Ministry 2027, is not some weird prophetic prophecy book. It really is just a call back to healthy ministry in a way that might lead us to something. Because I'm seeing in kids a hunger. Dude, they're dying for a life worth living. Mm. They want to be a part of something mm-hmm. larger than themselves. We see it. It's called transcendence, which I want to be a part of something that's that's bigger than my own story, that's shaping me, and man, that's the gospel.
Mm-hmm. How do we create youth ministries that provide the space for the Spirit to work and transcendence to be experienced?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and for youth workers, we have the pressures of, well, we have programs to run. There's some measure of that that's reality, right?
Yeah.
How do we infuse the Spirit or let the Spirit freely move about in our youth meetings?
Right. Because we could
create that.
The challenge to have that voice in the social structures, we actually have a voice in how we run our ministries. That's
right.
Actually, we have direct control over that.
Right.
So how do we create
I mean, it's interesting because I'm a new youth pastor in my church, and I'm dealing, and I have people who work for me. I'm fortunate for that, to be in that kind of a position, but I'm dealing with the, hey, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
Don't change anything. And I'm going, yeah, but it's not really working fully,
mm-hmm.
right? And we hear about it. Like this weekend, we go on retreat, and then kids finally say what's going on.
It might look good on the outside for
right.
a time, but inside it's
right.
really
so
not.
So when you really see what's going on in the lives of our kids, you go, okay, what we're doing isn't working. So the first thing I noticed was we do announcements longer than we pray at youth group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like this marketing machine, man. We got this. It's going to be the best weekend of your life.
Who's glad to be here tonight?
Yeah. You know, and so there's this, you know, so I was like, man, we are doing announcements for like 5 to 10 minutes. And we're praying right before the sermon, maybe quickly right after. I realized that worship is prayer. I was noticing that we are not leaving room. What if God actually wanted to speak? Like, what if God actually wanted?
Well, he can only speak when I'm finished.
That's right. That's right. I mean, like, what if
God,
he wanted
you
to
on
do
the schedule.
Something? So, I mean, for me, I'm like, all right, we have all these kids coming in who are riddled with anxiety, plagued with addictions, and we're playing banana eating games. Although I love them, we're pushing our events. We're having a lot of fun. We're playing games. We're doing cool worship. We're telling really funny stories and then pointing them to Jesus with our talks. Maybe we're doing a short time of small groups and we're sending them on their way. And we've never said Holy Spirit. We've never taught kids how to work, and we've never invited the Holy Spirit. Okay, you know, empower us. Speak to us. You know, there is this weekend we sing a song called, I forget what it's called, but there's a line in it from the scriptures, "Be still and know I'm God." There's this line in a song called Waves by HTB's worship band, Holy Trinity Brompton's worship band called Worship Central. And our theme was this idea of waves. And there's this part of the song, "Be still and know I'm God." We love that verse. We tell kids that.
Mm-hmm.
We're never still at youth group.
Mm-hmm.
We never teach kids how to be still and soak in the presence of God.
Mm.
And so for me, I wanted to start incorporating different prayer exercises in our youth ministry. Everyone was said, that's a stupid idea.
Mm.
We kind of, our youth ministry traditionally kind of has a young lifey model.
Okay.
So it's light.
High energy, high fun.
High energy, high fun. You know, great relationships. It's not all bad. I'm not...
Trying to
say that, but there isn't room for the Holy Spirit to work. We don't even talk about the Holy Spirit, actually. I was told, dude, we don't do that. That's not going to work here.
Yeah.
So I just went, well, let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. So I would kind of in my talk go, all right, I just want us to, and I would lead them through a prayer exercise maybe. And man, the kids were like, that was the most amazing. I've never felt peace. I mean, for years, I haven't felt peace. And tonight, for the first time, I'm overwhelmed by God's peace.
Mm.
We started having kids go to leaders in the midst of our service for prayer. We do that on retreats. We don't do it in the U.S. It's called ministry time in Europe. They do that every church service, ministry time. Hey, during this next song, if you want prayer, come on up. We'd love to pray for you. Mm. This is what they do. And they are reaching a post-Christian world in Europe. And we... are still excluding God's Spirit from what we're trying to do. And so there's some challenges. There were some challenges for me in my own life to be open more so to God's Spirit. And by the way, how do you know if God's Spirit's working in you? It's called fruit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, forbearance, self-control. These are all really good things. And our kids are desperate for them. Dude, I'm desperate for them.
Mm-hmm. For the younger youth workers listening,
yeah,
you know, what do they bring to the table uniquely that maybe us old guys haven't figured out yet?
They are less removed. I find that they bring the energy and the passion that are so vital. I've noticed that as you get older, your ministry widens. Your audience becomes broader.
Absolutely, yeah.
So like when you're 22, 14-year-olds listen to you. Maybe.
Right.
Right. But middle school, high school kids, you might have their ear. When you get married, boom, that audience just, all college kids are kind of like, oh, what's this guy have to say? What's this gal have to say?
Yeah.
When you have children, young couples are listening to you. When you've raised teenagers, parents are now listening to you. But by this time, youth workers are getting out.
Yeah.
And so I'm finding my ministry to be really effective. Parents are meeting with me. When I have a parent meeting, they come in mass. When I started, three came, and they didn't need to be there. They were the awesome moms, and they were at everything anyways. Now we pack the house out because I have something to say. Or at least they are more receptive now. When you're young and you're starting out, there are things I can't do anymore that young youth workers have. They might be a little bit more in tune and aware of. Honestly, I don't even give a rip what kids are listening to anymore. I've stopped listening. I can't listen to it. When I was younger, the hip youth pastor, I was totally like, oh yeah, I'm way into them. And I could, and now I'm like, it's all crap.
Who are they?
Oh, I can't.
I've become the subject of ridicule most
days. So I'm like, fine. I'm fine with Pearl Jam. Just leave me alone. I stopped listening around the mid-90s. Yeah. And so for young youth workers, they are more accessible. They're more in the world. They're more aware. And they bring life and energy. I would say this, though. The most important, maybe the challenge, if you're a young youth worker, let me just challenge you on something. Because I hire young youth workers all the time. I don't want to hire, I don't care if someone's wearing the cool clothes. I don't care how tight their pants are or
well, you might.
I don't care if they're really hip to all the music or whatever. Will they pray for my kids? Like, give me a young youth worker who is accessible because of age and there's power there. Use that. But are they on their knees for our kids? Because I am finding prayer to be, it actually works. It's not for nothing. And God moves. And there's a war going on. And I know we forget about that. There's a battle going on over the heart, mind, and souls of our kids. Give me a young youth worker who will pray for my kids. And man, that's the youth worker who's going to make a difference today.
Well, and I hope you also heard, though, that you've got that passion and that energy as a young one, but you have a bigger voice as an old guy. So, or old gal, hang in there, stay in the game.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and then when you get too old to have the passion, hire someone who's got it.
That's right.
They
run from roller coaster to roller coaster at King's Dominion or whatever Six Flags.
I hold backpacks.
And that's right. That's right. If you need something, I'm sitting here.
I'll be right here at the
Exactly.
Yeah, I have perfected the nap at every amusement park I've ever been to.
You fake sick and go to the infirmary?
Yeah. It's great.
Well, you've been in the game for 27 years now, 28 years, right?
Yeah.
So you said, so how did you persevere over the, you tried to get out of it and then here you are back in it. So how did you, stick around all those years?
You cannot hide.
I really love students. You know, my wife, maybe 10 years ago, was talking about, she was in seminary. She was taking a church planting class. And she was like, maybe we should plant a church. In this class, you would take these tests and it would show you like the perfect church planner personality type. And she was like, Brock, you're the perfect church planting type. And I remember thinking about it and I was like, yeah, but I hate church. I don't want to do that. Like,
You don't want to write a constitution. You don't want to lead elder meetings.
Exactly. I don't want to do that. Are you kidding me? That would kill me. Like, so.
That's how I feel too.
It's like, I don't know if I can do that. And I do love the church. I love the church. I love God's people. I think that my fear was I would start off going, okay, we're going to do things differently. But then I would, eventually we're just going to look like every other church. Yeah. You know, because
the student ministry leaves more room for the maverick to just kind of do his thing.
So I feel like I can create more in student ministry. But also, for me, I've been fortunate to grow older and work in churches where I can. I think what's kept me in the game is the joy of investing in younger youth workers. The joy in investing in our volunteer team and to invest in the adults that are investing in kids. It's not that I probably still get with at least two kids a week. So I kind of see myself as a player coach, but I love getting with parents, and I love seeing them and our adult leaders as my ministry. And so for me, that has kept me, because I've been in mostly in churches in the later years that have allowed me to hire, and that has helped me be in supportive places. But I've been hurt by churches in ways that I 15 years ago I said I left a church and I said I'm never working in the church again. I'm never doing it, because it was so painful. And I became so bitter and so angry that, again, that my wife has told me twice in my life, one was with the anxiety and one was this, to go get counseling. And because I was becoming this angry person when I left that church. I could not get over how wrong the church treated me. So I went and got counseling, and this counselor looked at me and she was like, who do you need to forgive who's not asking you for forgiveness? And I looked at her and I went, no, they don't deserve my forgiveness. There's no way I want them to pay. I want the opposite. I want them to pay.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I went the other way. And what it did is that almost ruined me, because the next 5 years, I was this angry, bitter dude. And my wife said I was unrecognizable.
Really?
Finally, I went back to counseling. I forgave this pastor who, did me wrong, and God just released me from it. If I wouldn't have done that, there's no way I would still be working in the church today, because God's called us to live freely and lightly, and to join Him in liberating people with forgiveness, liberating ourselves with forgiveness.
I wonder how many young youth workers have been in that position. They've been hurt in some place, they carried that bitterness. They stepped out of youth ministry, and the whole future potential was gone.
No, it's all over the place.
And look what you've been able to, you know, accomplished since coming back in, having been released of that. It never would have happened if you'd not allowed that.
No, I honestly, there's no way. There's no way. It's a,
gotta hang in there.
You gotta hang in there. And again, I think opening my personal life up to God's Spirit, like in necessarily a charismatic way, but I mean, allowing the love and the joy and the peace to just kind of daily empower me has kept me in the game. Yeah.
Cool. What's something that you've seen since you wrote the book that you didn't address in the book that...
Oh, Lord.
That you're thinking, we should be thinking already, about this.
We're already in year 2018, so it's now 9 years till 2027.
9 years, people.
Culture's, it's moving fast.
You
speak around the country, so you see all kinds of different environments. And
I do have a chapter on advocacy, and I have a chapter on longevity. And I think there's more to say there than what I said in the book. We just were talking about longevity. And in the chapter, I honestly mostly talk about it from a finance point of view.
Yeah.
It's a, and I wish I would have gone into some of this other stuff that have kept me healthy. A pastor friend of mine one time sat me down and he confessed that he had had, he had committed adultery. My first reaction was, if Doug can't stay faithful to his wife, Doug's amazing. He loves Jesus. If he can't, like, there's no way I can. Like, I'm done. If he can't do it, I can't do it. And I was probably like 27 at the time. And it led me into living in a way that led me into longevity, honestly. I go back to Doug's. What God did in Doug's life is used it in my life to humble me, to make me desperate to get help, to not hide my junk. And I wish I would have gone, I want to really help youth workers. In that chapter, I was thinking, man, we're getting paid not necessarily very well.
we're paying the rent, right?
You know, yeah. And how do you, as a youth pastor, if you're getting paid $35,000 a year, let's just say, that's on the low end, but let's just say, and you're like, man, how do I have a family? How do I? Mm-hmm. That chapter is about, here's some ways that, here's multiple streams of revenue that maybe could help you so that you can stay in the game for a long time. I wish I would have also said what we're talking about now, some of these heart things, and I think I touch them in other ways in the book. Mm-hmm. I do think about that, but that's not really what your question was. Your question was, what are, maybe is happening culturally necessarily that I wish I would have addressed. And to be honest, it's a perfectly written book, and it addresses all of those.
You cover the whole nine yards. You got the whole thing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I think community is one thing that keeps us in youth ministry, for sure.
Yeah. If you're a young youth worker, here's a big one. We were just talking about this before we started recording, was the average youth pastor that is not in a youth worker network in their community averages 2 years in their church. If that same youth worker were in a network, a local gathering of support, they're 9 years average in the church.
Yep.
That's insane. Yeah. And so that there's another a point towards longevity.
Yeah, that's going to be a future episode. Very soon, actually, we're going to talk about that.
You have to.
About community, absolutely. Yeah. And you've had it over the years, which is why you're still here.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's been super key.
Here's a weird question.
Okay.
I made this question up, so. Finish this sentence in a positive and negative light. If blank, then blank in youth ministry.
I would say if sameness, then death in youth ministry. If we just, the structures and methods that we've inherited, youth groups are shrinking. Churches, I should say white churches are shrinking. And if we just are holding on, if we are afraid of, if we look back to, man, our youth ministry used to be doing this. If we did this again, then we would bring in the kids. If we keep thinking the same, if we keep doing the same, we're going to go the way of Europe did, that they went through in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. We're going to see the same thing, and it's going to lead to death. And so for me, it's rethinking these things. It's really looking, if you didn't know what youth ministry, anything about youth ministry or structures or models, you didn't know anything. You didn't know anything. And you just looked at kids and where they're at and what they're struggling with, what would you do to reach them and heal them and serve them? And like, what would you do?
You'd play banana games.
You would play banana games, exactly. Well, you obviously, you with kids, there's going to be fun. Sometimes I'll go to Young Life things and I'll speak at their youth worker trainings or whatever. They've been the best at incarnational ministry. They have something to say to church youth workers, because we've lost that going to where kids are thing. We're just trying to get kids to come to our thing instead of going to work to their thing. We're so busy building our things. What if we decided to make their things our things? And that's where we spend our time. They get that. And then secondly, instead of being shallow, we actually went deeper. I have found the most evangelistic talks I give are the deeper talks. The kids who are, I don't like the faith, Christians are hypocrites, judgmental. I'm when I go deep, those kids are in. And so for me, the keeping youth ministry shallow, we've got to learn how to bring depth to our youth ministry structures. And we've got to learn to get less busy and create space to go to where kids are today.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great. Thank you for your voice in youth ministry, man. This is great stuff.
Yeah. I appreciate it. I thank you guys for what you do. You guys are my heroes. I don't know very many like us who are, who've been doing youth ministry 20 plus, 30 plus years. And I don't mean youth ministry professors. I mean literally in the trench youth workers. So I'm honored to sit with you. Like, you guys are my heroes. Thanks. So thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Last question. How can we, in what we're trying to do, how can we encourage youth workers to keep going? What advice would you give to us to to help others?
I just think that youth workers, what you can do is remind them who they are. We forget even who we are in the midst of this. Who they are, what their role is, and what they're doing is what is going to bring change to our culture. If we leave, if we abandon youth culture, if we walk away, I'm nervous for that. I'm nervous for youth workers giving up. I'm nervous for churches shrinking and going, oh, we just can't do youth ministry anymore. I'm nervous for that. But as you encourage and equip and challenge youth workers to remain faithful, and to be content where God has them, contentness is huge.
It is, yeah.
Oh my gosh. When I was young, I was so discontent. I wanted to always speak in the main service. You know, I always wanted to write books and be a speaker guy. I would go to Youth Specialties, National Youth Workers Convention, and I would see people, and I would be like, dude, I could do it better than that. I was such a jerk.
We've all thought that. We sat not there and said the same thing to each other.
You know, and then
not in your seminar.
No. Well, it's so funny. And then I was asked when I was a bit older to do this stuff, and young youth workers would walk up to me and be like, how did you get this job? I was like, oh, you buds. Yeah. I was the same way. You know, but that contentment piece. But I just, what you guys are doing, talking about youth ministry, the real struggles, success is not numerical. Success is transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You got five kids. You love those five kids. You don't need to get 30 kids in your youth group. Give me a break. Five kids can change the world. I mean, Jesus changed the world with 11 people.
And they weren't very smart people.
These were not.
They weren't the top of the heap.
They were not the top of the heap.
Yeah.
You have a 10-person youth group, dude, schools can be changed.
Yep.
And so I thank you guys for doing this. It's a commitment. You're busy doing your youth ministry. And the fact that you're doing this each day for youth workers around the country, I'm blown away. So just keep going.
Yeah. What did Mike Iaconelli always say? If you got a youth group of 12 kids and you're sure one of them's trying to kill you, then you know what Jesus went through.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike Iaconelli quote.
I miss Yak. Occasionally, I'll go on YouTube and I'll just watch his old stuff.
Yeah.
And I start crying.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Good stuff.
So if you're under 30 and you're hearing all these names dropped, Keith Green, Marco,
Mike Iaconelli, you need to get on Google and find some stuff.
You need to go learn your youth ministry history here.
That's right.
Oh, hear where we're coming from.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. I'm sure you have a million things you could be doing, and we appreciate the voice here on the Youth Ministry Shepherds podcast.
Yeah, pleasure to sit down with you today. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, guys.
That was some good stuff, wasn't it?
Man, what a great conversation. I'm just so thankful to Brock for the time that he gave us and the wisdom that he shared. Lots of challenging things in there for sure.
Yeah, he welcomed us in as friends. We'd never even met before, and we just really want to thank him for taking the time out of his day to meet with us.
By the time we walked out of the office, I felt like we were friends, even though we met that day. So,
there's a couple things in there that we want to chat about just briefly. And the thing that struck me was what he said at the end about, what if we decided to make their thing our thing? Man, that's hard.
It's hard because so much of our current youth ministry culture is programmed around getting them to come to our things.
Yes.
And this is just an absolute, almost complete reversal to say, well, wait, what if we made their things our things? And he talked about how Young Life, that's their model, and they're killing it. And we have good friends here in Maryland that do Young Life and just totally respect what they're doing and how they're doing it. But then to think about how we do that in our church student ministry world.
Yeah, and sure, we go to kids' events, and we encourage our youth leaders, our volunteers, to be at events and concerts and games and stuff. And that's a big part of the youth ministry. But if you tallied up the time spent, honestly, at least in my life, of working on the program, planning, writing messages, and then actually pulling off the meetings, it just is overwhelmingly in favor of being at the church instead of out in the kids' lives.
Right. So that's a huge challenge to think, especially, thinking over these next 10 years
of student ministry as the culture continues to shift and change.
Kids are less inclined to come to church.
Right. And so at what point in time will it be an absolute necessity that we make their things our things because they stop coming to our things because of lack of interest or whatever the case may be. And so that was super challenging for sure.
Yeah, and when they're here, think about. When they're here to take them deeper. You know, we have a lot of fun in our youth ministry, and most youth pastors love to do games and stuff. And there's a lot of value in that. We would not downplay the value of laughing together.
I love little Knight Rider Donkey Princess. We love that game.
Yeah, we have that game too. But at the same time, we shouldn't be afraid to really go deep with kids because that's where they want to go. They have genuine questions, deep questions of the faith. That they want answered.
They're drawn to something that's real. It's
transcendent.
That's transcendent. It's not fake. It's not surfacey. It has some depth to it. And so a challenge to think about how we go a little bit deeper in our student ministries, even as an evangelistical tool. I mean, Brock talked about that he's finding that sometimes those deeper messages are actually more effective in evangelism than some of those banana games that we like to play.
I don't know if we ever played banana games.
I don't think I've ever played a game with a banana, but we understand the point.
We probably have at some point. Maybe we blocked it from our memories.
Right.
Well, we hope you were encouraged by today's interview. We hope that you'll pick up a copy of Brock's book, Youth Ministry 2027. Learn from that. Be encouraged. Take a look at the future and jump into the movement.
Absolutely. Another thing that he keyed on towards the end of our conversation there was just the importance of community, the importance of networking with other youth workers. We talked about that statistic about 2 years versus 9 years. And so, again, we want to just talk about how important it is that you as a young youth worker or a new youth worker find ways to connect with other youth workers in your area.
High priority. In fact, we are super excited because next week we are going to go hang out together with a bunch of our friends. We do this every spring. We rent a house at a resort not too far from here and spend 2 or 3 nights together just hanging out. We talk some youth ministry. We tell stories and just enjoy each other's company.
Eat some good food.
It is invaluable
for
us.
Take a nap.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Hot tub, man soup.
Yep, absolutely. So we...
I'm going to scratch out the man suit part.
spending a couple of nights together just being together, talking shop, talking about life, telling stories, getting empathy and sympathy from each other for experiences we've had in the last year. I mean, seriously, this is something that's on my calendar that it's a marker in my year. Like, this is something I need to do. And it's because of that importance of having this community of other like-minded people who are in the same battle that I'm in. And so...
So what we want to say is that if you are in youth ministry, we've got to be in community with other youth workers who are doing what we're doing so we have some sense of connection to the greater body. It's just super important. Once again, thanks for listening to Youth Ministry Sherpas. You can go to our website, youthministrysherpas.com. You can click on the link to get our e-newsletter. You can support us there. You can hear all the podcasts, as well as read some great blogs that we've been accumulating from some youth ministry minds, and it's going to be great.
Yep. So we look forward to talking to you again soon.
That was so lame. What the hell is a youth ministry mind? There is this youth ministry mind that hovers above us all.